The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors. Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, and today's Investor Spotlight features John Kassman from episode 116. And in this one, he's going to be talking about the power of collaboration and confidence while you're investing in the properties that you want to invest in. John has an incredible story, and what's so great about John's story is that he has been able to do some really big business, but it all started with the first property. And so he's going to be talking about the power of collaboration and the power of confidence when he was able to take out some equity in the initial property and then be off to the races. And so let's talk about what it's all about. John Kassman, episode 116, the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight. Let's get into it.
It's inevitable. You're going to meet somebody who says you can't do it or you shouldn't. And maybe they're trying to protect you. Could be a family member, could be a friend. I've experienced the same thing. But you can't listen to those voices. You know, you got to trust the work you're doing. You got to trust the research you've done. And you know, things are going to happen. You just got to figure it out. And ultimately you get to that point where you get that first rent check and you're off to the races.
Yeah, man. Couldn't agree more.
Definitely. So where did things go from there? You know, you got your first property, you know, your house hacking. How did things develop from there? What was next for you?
So listen, man, that was around 2012. The market was slowly starting to take off. And that property, we actually didn't even know about the FHA thing when we were saving. So we were saving way more money. So when we bought the property, we actually had extra money that we invested into it. So we fixed up, you know, the owner's unit, which was our unit. We fixed that up. We fixed up some exterior things. We invested more into the property. We saved up our money again for another year and a half, almost 2 years. And then we started to look for another deal to buy. And the agent we were looking at, she said, you know what? What did you buy that property for? And we told her, and she said, I think y'all have a lot of equity in that property. I'm like, no, I don't think so. I said, maybe what we put in, but I don't think it's more than that. And she's like, no, I think you do. And we did not believe her. And sure enough, we were weighing our options and we were maybe going to do another FHA, but we had to refinance out of the first FHA. So we decided to get an appraisal done. And the appraisal came back. And we had created over six figures worth of equity in that property. So
what period of time was that?
Less than 2 years. So wow. It floored me. It absolutely floored me. And I thought it was a mistake. I remember I got the email. I called my wife. I said, yo, do you see this email? And she had just opened it up. And we were both on the floor like, yo. And the reason I tell that is because it was that moment that the belief became real. Like, I felt like I knew real estate investing could work. It was a great tool, but it was always a get rich slow kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I made more money on that, you know, creating equity on that deal than I made in a year. Right. And then the mind just starts to go, well, what if you could do that more? But like, man, you know, and all of these ideas start to come. So it's like, well, how do I do this more? So we were doing all of that to buy another property. We ended up buying a 3-unit building. But on the same notion, we were trying to figure out, well, what's the right path forward then? Because we're saving money. We didn't touch any of that, right? But we're saving money and looking to invest. But, you know, it takes a while to save up a considerable amount of money to go buy rentals. So we took the line of credit. We used that actually to buy an 8-unit property. And at that moment, I was completely tapped. We tapped out our equity. We tapped out the line of credit. And we still had equity in these projects, but I wasn't getting the cash flow that I was looking for. So I had to step back and say, well, how do we actually scale this thing? And I remember meeting a young lady at one of these meetups, and I watched her scale her portfolio from 3 units to 9 units to 90 units. And it was the most incredible thing I'd ever seen. Wow. And when she told me she was up to 90 units, I was shocked. And I said, how'd you do it? I said, you know what? Can we go to breakfast or something? I would love to just sit down and, you know, learn more. And that's exactly what we did. And she introduced me to this idea of partnering with other people. And I, you know, I obviously knew people were doing that or could do that, but it wasn't something that I realistically saw as an option for me until she and I had that conversation. And it goes back to limiting beliefs, right? Because we kind of have this mindset of, you know, here's what I can do, or I'm not comfortable doing that, or here's what could go wrong. And for me, I didn't want to be responsible for someone else's money. You know, I still felt like there was risk in what I was doing. There's risk in investment, right? No one really sat down and taught me how to be a great investor. So for me, I knew what I was doing was working, but I couldn't quite articulate why it was working, right? More importantly, I couldn't tell you how to avoid it going wrong, right? And it's like when you're winning. When you're winning, it's great, you're winning, but you don't really learn a whole lot from winning. You learn from losing. And that really forces you to go back. And I wasn't ready to start working with other people because I hadn't lost yet. And I knew it was, I don't want to call it beginner's luck, but I knew it wasn't like I was this savant investor who had a whole, you know, strategy planned out. So it's like, I really need to take the time to get better, to really understand this investing thing at a deeper level that I can quantify, that I can qualify. So when we're looking at opportunities, we absolutely know what we're doing, and I can move with confidence when I'm talking to potential investors. So I actually took a quick step backwards, hired a mentor, and that really allowed me to get some clarity on what I needed to do going forward.
Got it. And, you know, I think that self-reflection piece is huge. You know, I think it's great that you realized where you needed to grow and that you needed to get a little more information before taking steps forward. So talk to us about like what that mentor helped you with and, you know, what you were able to do after being under that mentorship.
Yeah, man. So it was a couple of things. And I think the first one is just understanding the process. I had never raised a dollar from anyone before. So in my head, it was like, you know, almost like those multi-level marketing schemes, right? Where, you know, it's like, okay, I got to go sit here and ask all these people to invest. Very uncomfortable, right? But what really helped me was recognizing that we really provided value to other people. You know, I had at this point invested 10 years of knowledge, at least, in trying to learn and figure out this business, going back to my time in Detroit. Even though I hadn't been investing for 10 years, I had been working this plan for 10 years, you know, in my head, between the books that I was reading, the events I was attending, the podcasts I was listening to, the people I was networking with, the events I was going to, right? I've been working and, you know, getting better and better and better every day for about 10 years. So understanding how you can help people and that you actually do have value, that you do have knowledge that you can provide to other people, and that not everybody wants to be, you know, an investor who invests 10 years to learn all of this, right? Some people just want to say, hey, I heard real estate could work. Cool. Let me write a check. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's what being an investor means. You know, most of us have a 401k or some kind of retirement account of some sort, right? Do we know every company and the businesses that are, you know, 401ks are invested in? No, of course not. But you make your return off of it, right? And that's all you really need to know. And investing could be the same thing. So for me, it was understanding the value and the service that we provide that allowed me to change my perspective. Whereas maybe it started off from a selfish standpoint to say, well, hey, you know, maybe these people could help me buy these properties. And then what I realized is, well, actually, maybe I can help these people invest in real estate and we can partner up. They get some value. I get some value. So it works out for both of us. So then it became less about me asking people for money and then more about me presenting an opportunity for people to partner with me. And I could share with them what we were doing, who was on my team and all those kind of things. So that helped tremendously with that mentor. The other major thing it did was I watched this person grow their portfolio. When I met them, they had a $7 million portfolio, which was huge to me at the time. You know, in my mind, that was huge. They went from 7 million to just around 2 billion. And when you watch wow. someone grow 193 million dollar or whatever the number is, right? Portfolio, a $1.93 million portfolio in front of you, you learn a thing or two. And it also changes your perspective of what's possible. You know, at that time, I really just wanted somebody to partner with me on my next 8 unit. And then I'm watching this guy go out and buy 100+ unit complexes and raise millions of dollars for it. And it really made me realize that I think this is bigger than what I'm envisioning. And that allowed me to really commit to this and do things like launch a podcast, do things like launch a meetup, do things like, you know, speak in front of other people, create a website and all those kind of things where I could share what it is that we do. So the mindset itself, I think, was bigger than anything else because I actually watched this person grow right in front of me.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.